class will now come to order. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and with the ringing of that school bell, you know we need to get our Bibles and be prepared for a Bible study. And I'll be reading the text, so if you don't have a Bible handy and you can listen, maybe you're driving or something like that, then you listen to this school and I'll be reading the text, but I think you'll enjoy it mostly if you'll be able to take your very own Bible and read along with me. And you need to turn at this time to your school book, that's your Bible, to the book of Acts chapter 6. And we're going to continue our study of the great men and women of the Bible and studying about Stephen the martyr. Now, as you're getting your Bible and turning to Acts chapter 6, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sundays of August the 19th, 1923, by an old preacher in his latter years that went by the name of E. A. Elam. Now let me read to you this text, and then we'll turn once again to Elam's notes. The text says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogues, called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." And now this, "And they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Those who engaged in this debate with Stephen were not able to meet him for two reasons. Namely, the truth which he presented and the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake it. He presented the gospel and the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Debates today conducted in the wisdom and love of the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit will accomplish good. But would many contend for the truth in the face of death? Stephen did. We read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 11, "That they suborned men who said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." When men do not intend to receive the truth and find that they cannot overthrow it in fair and open discussion, they resort to misrepresentation and violence, or to both, as in Stephen's case. They suborned men, that is, they bribed men to go among the people and pervert and misrepresent the teachings of Stephen. They said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." The Sadducees endeavored to put down the preaching of the apostles by authority, by simply commanded them by the authority of the Jewish high court not to preach or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And this effort utterly failed. The Pharisees sought to convict Stephen of blasphemy according to the law of Moses. Real blasphemy was punishable by death. We read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, in verse 16, "He that blasphemeth the name of Jehovah shall surely be put to death," stoning to death. They made this charge against Jesus. "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God," John 19 and verse 7. But Stephen was not guilty. They falsely accused him. We're going to read his speech in a few moments in Acts chapter 7. He spoke in the great respect for Moses and reverence for God. He showed that all God promised through Abraham and Moses, had been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, that as the fathers had rejected Moses, so that generation had rejected Jesus, and that had they had believed Moses, they would have believed Jesus. Such statements Jesus also made in John chapter 5, verses 41 through 47. Here Jesus said, "I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, will him ye receive? How can ye believe who receive glory of one another, and the glory that cometh from the God, only God, ye seek not? Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, on whom ye have set your hope. For if ye believed Moses, ye would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" As with Jesus, what Stephen taught was perverted by the enemies to bring these charges against him. And so in Acts chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "They stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and seized him and brought him up to the council by these slanderous reports and false charges." They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. Public opinion was aroused against him. This was a shrewder and more successful way of accomplishing their purpose than by ordering him by the authority of the Sanhedrin to quit preaching. To such tactics some resort today, and at the time the gospel was in great favor with the people. Hence they must be influenced against it, they thought. It seemed impossible to carry any measure against public opinion. Elders were among the rulers of the people, and the scribes, we know, were those who transcribed the law and were the lawyers and the theologians. An equal number of elders, scribes, and priests composed the Jewish council or Sanhedrin. Public opinion sufficiently aroused against Stephen. They came upon him and seized him or arrested him and brought him into the council. In Acts chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, we read that they set up false witnesses who said, "This man ceaseth not to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us." These false witnesses were doubtless the suborned men of verse 11. They were false witnesses because the charges against Stephen were not true. And they themselves were false because they accepted the bribes to lie. No man who can be bribed by popularity, public opinion, position, or money can be true or relied upon for anything good. The charge against Stephen was blasphemy. And now they show in what way he was guilty. Blasphemy against God, and that he said Jesus would destroy that holy place, and blasphemy against Moses, in that he said Jesus would change the customs of Moses. These elders, scribes, and priests had themselves changed the customs which Moses delivered, and by doing so they had made void the commandments of God by their traditions. But this was their own act, and it was justifiable in their eyes, and they accused Stephen of something he had not done. Jesus had harsh words to say to them, who themselves had actually changed the customs of Moses for their own traditions. We read in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 and down through 13, "And there were gathered together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples ate their bread with defiled," that is, unwashed, "hands. For the Pharisees and all the Jews except they wash their hands diligently. Eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, except they bathe themselves, they eat not. And many other things that are, which they have received to hold, washings of cups and pots and brazen vessels. And the Pharisees and scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands? And he said unto them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, for it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Ye leave the commandment of God, and hold fast the tradition of men. And he said unto them, Full well do you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother. And he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man say to his father or mother, That wherewith thou mightest have profited by me is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer suffer him to do aught for his father or his mother, making void the word of God by your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. He doubtless showed that Jesus, this is Stephen, Stephen doubtless showed that Jesus was a fulfillment of the law and of the prophets, and that God is a spirit and seeks such to worship him, and worship him in spirit and in truth, and not only at Jerusalem and in the mountain of Samaria, but in every place true worshipers may so worship God. Answering this challenge in his speech, he says, Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in houses made with hands, as saith the prophet, The heaven is my throne, and the earth the footstool of my feet. What manner of house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Acts chapter 7, verses 47 through 49. Falsehood and slander are made more effectual and powerful by coloring them with the truth. Jesus taught that he came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them, Matthew 5 and verse 17. That which the Jews accused him of destroying is one of the mightiest evidences that he is the Christ of God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus of Nazareth. Was Jesus brought up at Nazareth in Galilee? The Jews referred to this place and person in derision. And so we read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 15, And all that sat in the council fastened their eyes on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. They watched even to see what effect these charges had upon him. And his very countenance gave them the lie. They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The faces of angels shine with more than human intelligence and brightness. We can see a description of the angel's face in Matthew 28 and verse 30, where it says of that angel, His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. Moses' face shone with superhuman brightness when he came down from the mount in Exodus chapter 34, verses 30 through 35. And so did the face of Jesus when transfigured. Stephen's face must have been like these, although not so intensely bright as to overawe the council. The high priest then asked Stephen if these charges were true, and he made the great speech recorded in Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 53. It is interesting to know that young Saul of Tarsus was among this number of persecutors that took a leading part. And we'll be reading that speech in Acts chapter 7 when the class for the Radio Bible School reassembles.